Hey everybody, it's Luke, and welcome back to The Breakdown. Joining us again today is Dr. Jamal Wheeler.
Oh my lord, good night.
You have an honorary doctorate degree.
I don't know from where.
As bestowed by the unaccredited Luke Rock on The Breakdown.
And Pastor Zach said it on Sunday, so I guess it's unaccredited Pastor Zach too.
There we go. Oh, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
So Pastor Zach is 40. How old are you?
Do I have to give my age on
here? I mean, I've known you for so many years.
Yeah.
And you just seem ageless to me.
Oh, that's not true. I look way aged considering what I looked like 20 years ago.
Maybe it's just me being in denial of getting older myself.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. I'm like, Jeff, Jamal looks the same. Yeah, so yes. I look the same. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's happy birthday, Pastor Zach.
I just want to share my first introduction to Jamal. This is going back years and years.
Is this VBS?
VBS.
Oh my lord.
You know exactly.
Yep. I do
so
know.
Back at Calvary Temple, I was probably, I don't know how old I was, maybe 8.
I was 12.
Okay. I don't, what's the years between us? How old are you? How old are you?
37.
You're 37. Okay,
you
yes.
You just wanted me to put out my age to the whole community. Thanks
so,
a lot.
So I'm 33. So there's
4 years. Yeah,
four years between us. So I was 8 years old. And we had finished the morning. And then to close out, Pastor John Costa pulled Jamal to the front.
Which I don't even know how he knew
that you could sing.
I don't remember that at
and
all.
And Jamal gave this amazing, absolutely stellar a cappella rendition of This Little Light of Mine.
It's crazy that you remember the song, Luke. That is nuts.
It was awesome.
I remember it, but I can't believe that you do.
Yep. Yeah, and so really that was my first impression of Jamal. Yeah. And it's only grown and gotten better over the years. And we're starting from a really good place.
Yeah. That's so crazy that that was 25 years ago.
That's crazy.
It's nuts. Yeah. But anyway, here we are.
Those good old VBS days,
I'm telling you,
which I love. So now we're coming into Sunday. Happy birthday, Pastor Zach.
Yeah.
And before he got to the message, which I just wanted to stop and talk about this for a second. He did a refocusing and really calling us into a good worldview on how it is we are to vote.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it yesterday and today, and it really was convicting to me because what Pastor Zach shared was that in his dialogue with the Lord, he felt the Lord calling him to don't just vote for what you stand for, vote for what you pray for. Mm. And applying that to myself, I know that it's really easy for me to fight for certain things, even if I'm fighting because I know that they are true, you know, because we're supposed to weigh everything against scripture. But then I was applying what Pastor Zach said, and I was like, how often do I pray for the things that I fight for? Mm-hmm. And I, to be honest, like quite honestly, and it's sad, it's like I don't always go to that step of prayer.
Sure. Yeah. I think, again, and I think of that all the time. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees.
Yes.
And so many of us have gotten to the place where we don't fight like that anymore. We'll fight with our fingers on social media. Mm-hmm. That's actually how most of us fight these days.
Or even talking to one another.
Sure. But again, social media seems to be the way that people want to be
broadcast.
Combative. Yeah. Want to fight, right? Normally face-to-face is easier to not fight. It's easier to come together in some kind of conclusion when you're sitting face-to-face, but the online thing allows the fight to live on. And instead of fighting on our knees, we're fighting with our fingers. Mm. And it's we got to go back to fighting the right way. And I consider that is in prayer. And I agree with you, Luke. I don't nearly as much as I should pray for the things that I stand for and fight for.
Right.
Even thinking about my family, most of my family is going to vote one way. And now I'm probably going
a different way.
Not probably. And I think we've had some fairly civil conversations and things like that, but I haven't prayed, Lord, change their heart. Lord, tug them into what I see and what I, even having a conversation with my grandmother the other day about abortion blew my mind that she would say some of the stuff that she said that she really deep down believes. But I'm like, wait, aren't you a Christian? What is going on here?
Right.
So I think it's become interesting that we don't fight the right way. Like,
right.
And that's overall. But we see it easier in the political realm because mm-hmm. it causes such consternation for most people.
Right.
So yeah,
right.
come back to your knees, friends.
Yeah. Well, because when we talk, when we pray, we're talking with God.
Yes.
And there's that room for dialogue,
yes.
which again, when you pray, give space for God to speak back to
Absolutely.
You. This is not just a monologue. This is not a voice message that you then hit send on.
Yeah.
Like this is a dialogue.
Yeah.
And when we pray in that dynamic way, it allows for the refinement of the Holy Spirit
yes.
in our positions.
Yeah.
And more importantly, because we can get our position right, but I think a lot of time our attitude
sure.
and our heart posture
sure.
is where we need the adjustment.
Sure.
It's like, because you can be right, but you can also be wrong in how you say things
Absolutely.
And go about things.
Absolutely.
Right? And
yeah.
that's where like prayer softens us and
yeah.
allows us to, like God will often show you why the opposite side came to think the way they did.
Mm.
Right. And that's what you read in scriptures is how Jesus in every situation, he's engaging with the people, but it always goes back to like, he knew their hearts, even in situations where they didn't like the priests or the religious leaders, they
yeah.
don't even say anything.
Yeah.
They're judging him in their hearts.
Yeah. yeah.
And Jesus goes down to that heart level.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful for that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord is looking at the heart. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Because I would have sent a lot of people to hell. I'm not going to lie, Luke. A lot of people would be on their way, probably including myself. At some points in my life, you know, you get some rough places.
Yeah.
But again, thank God he's looking at my heart. That when something comes out of my mouth that's rough, and it's like, okay, Lord, you knew my heart there. Thank you for that. And even you knew my heart enough to correct my heart. And so I was talking about that in my penitentiary class last night, that again, we don't punish kids at King's just for the sake of
yeah.
punishment. We are disciplining
right.
for the sake of discipline. You cannot be a disciple without discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, even in our little one, I'm watching that actually her take the discipline on herself. The other day we've been fussing at her because she's not eating her lunch because she's talking. And I'm like, baby girl, if you need to, you need to separate yourself. Like, go sit by yourself. Tell a teacher, I gotta go sit by myself. Because my papa said, if I don't eat my lunch, I'm gonna be in trouble.
She must be Miss Social, though.
She does.
Yeah.
But she's gotta eat. Come on, Luke.
Of course.
She'll come home with like she'll eat her grapes and that's it. Everything else is still there. I'm like, and then be complaining about how she's starving. But the other day she went to a teacher without me saying anything and said, I need to sit by myself today.
Oh,
because I'm a little chatty. A 5-year-old, Luke.
Wow.
That is why we discipline.
Right.
And
right.
I think that, again, most often in my prayer life, I'm actually not talking. I'm at the place in my life where I sit and listen to the Lord a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's rare that I'm like throwing out my ideas and stuff. I'm like, Lord, I just want to listen to you. Like, again, you know my heart. And there are things that I know that I need to confess and say, and it needs to come out of my mouth. However, I also don't want to say anything that I don't hear you saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll sit and listen so that I can agree.
Mm-hmm.
So that the bride and the spirit say,
yeah.
come at the same time. Because
yes.
the spirit's already talking.
Yes.
And me as the bride, I just open my mouth and say, yes, God, heal. Yes, God, deliver. Yes, God, do it. And that's all I need to do. Half the time I jump off stage and lay hands on a person,
Amen.
I don't have a word.
Amen.
I just see the Holy Spirit
yeah.
resting on
right.
them. And I'm like, I just need to go agree with that. Like, I just need to go say, yes, God, do it more, God. So
that's beautiful. And what I love about what you're saying there and that illustration and explaining how you'll just go and like pray for people and you don't always say something.
Yes, sir.
It's, I think one way that Satan can sabotage us or handicap us is we start thinking I'm the messenger of healing.
Mm-hmm.
When really, no, the Holy Spirit is, we're there just as the vessel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And so when you have that discernment and that sensitivity, then you can just walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
and again, it's letting him lead. It's us yielding, like what Pastor John shared at the family meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're getting out of the way,
mm-hmm.
but we also follow,
mm-hmm.
right? It's
yeah.
not, we don't get out of the way and just stay there.
Right.
It's let him lead. And then
right.
we follow, we come
right.
into agreement.
Because again, if you get out of the way and just stay there, you're in somebody else's way.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going around the rotary, that was his
yeah.
thing. If you don't if you stop, but don't, I can't stand that when people just stop. Like, what are you doing? It's a you.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
But if you just stop, then you right. start to hold up there's everything a, behind you
right.
that's supposed to be following you
right.
is held up
right.
because you have not appropriately
right.
listened to the signal of the Lord.
Right.
And so me and Sue Salvatore this morning, this has nothing to do with the message. I'm sorry. Luke, you always do this to me.
Or it does. Let's see.
All right. We were talking this morning about, in a prophetic meeting, Dave Andrade had a dream about kind of paddles, as someone who is giving a prophetic word, a red, a yellow, a green, and a blue paddle. And there is some like biblical truth to this, right? When a person gives a prophetic word, it is supposed to be confirmed by two or three prophets.
Yeah.
That's a
yeah, we
biblical
have to
concept.
Test everything. Yeah.
Now, we don't always do that. Like how we do it here on a Sunday morning, of course, it has to go through Pastor John. So that's already a check. However, I've seen it so many times when we're talking about this that somebody gets up and gives a word and it's blue, like it starts off blue, which is, just to explain, the blue is like totally Holy Spirit. Like, mm-hmm. yes, this is it.
Yeah.
Green is like, okay, this is good. Of course, it's like word, but I don't know if it's it for the room right this
right.
minute. Okay.
Right.
Yellow is like, okay, where are we going? What is happening here? Red is like, okay, get them off
hard
the mic.
No.
Okay. Absolutely not. All right. And so we've had situations all the way through that. And there are times where, again, somebody's giving a word that is blue, and because they start to give more than what the Holy Spirit did mm-hmm. in that moment, it starts to fade
right.
out of the blue category because you start adding your own stuff
right.
to what God is doing.
Right.
So you no longer become the vessel, mm-hmm. you become the driver.
Right. You start to edit.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or interpret or anything
yeah.
like that. And again, I've had the Lord give me words and get so frustrated with me as I start to try and interpret, and I realize where I'm going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit put a check, like,
yep.
do not do that again, period.
Yeah.
But when I get up and give a word on a Sunday, it's like there's a few, I generally try not to go longer than like 3 minutes. You know what I'm saying? I want this to be as concise. Now, that's just my personality. I'm like really black and white. But Lord, how can I have this be as distilled and concentrated as possible
mm-hmm.
by saying only what I hear the Father saying?
Amen.
That I stand back and wait for a minute to let him take the lead. And so I'm like, I'm trying to get people back to that place. Like again, fighting on your knees.
Yeah.
Again, not with your own words, but with the words of the Lord. When he declares something, there's a verdict that's been made in
Amen.
Heaven
Amen.
When he declares it. So agree with the verdict. Otherwise, you're a false witness. It's like you're going to court and nobody's actually proven you. Nobody said that you're innocent. But you're going out telling everybody you're innocent. That is crazy. Like, you have to actually go through the process and
right.
sit in the courts of heaven
right.
and allow him to speak the thing over you before you start walking out in it.
Amen. Amen. It's coming back to that big picture.
Yeah.
And that segues perfectly into today's message. So I'm going to read some of the verses again. Pastor Zach was preaching out of Colossians chapter 1, and he started with verses 15 through 20. So let's start there. He is the image, this is talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross through him. I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. You know, like when we read this passage, to me, it's like we're zooming out.
Mm.
And you know, like that phrase, like don't lose the forest through the trees.
Sure,
like
yeah.
when you're just focusing on every tree,
sure,
it's like
yeah.
you lose sight of everything. And I think that happens so often with us in our life. Like we get stuck in this minutia of even just our daily walk with the Lord and walking things out with people. And you're talking about, you know, when we feel an impulse to give a word, but then like we're starting to notice like our flesh coming back onto it. Mm-hmm. And I think that what we need to do in those moments to get us back on our knees is I have to zoom out and look at the big picture of how big God is and what he did through Jesus and how everything's about Jesus. Right. It is not about me.
Right. And then what does he want to accomplish as a result of that?
Right.
But again, that's still big picture, 100,000 square foot view, like 100,000 foot view up top, like looking down to say, okay, because that is, again, he's always calling us higher. Right. So,
you're taking us high.
Oh, Luke, get it, bro. And I think that I was thinking, I was teaching yesterday in Pentateuch, and he started talking to me about glory to glory and what that looks like to him. Right. Because we keep coming back to the Israelites. And he says to the Israelites over and over again, I'm going to get glory out of Pharaoh and his army getting tossed into the sea. I'm going to get glory. There's more plagues to come because I'm going to get glory maximized, even with Pharaoh in the eyes of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. I'm going to get glory. And I'm like, oh, every plague was actually for him glory to glory. Man. But you have got to take a 100,000 foot view.
Oh, yes, you
in
do.
In order to see,
you do. Because if you don't,
everyone. Yes,
because my flesh, when I hear that, is wait. But why can't we do like the quick way?
Yeah,
like you have to drag this out. Like I just want my deliverance,
right?
And he's like, no, it's about my glory.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You're not set free to just go out and roam. You're set free. I'm telling Pharaoh to let you go so you can come worship me, right? Mm-hmm. But you got to get a bigger view for that. So again, even the Red Sea, as he's about to toss them in, he says 3 or 4 times, "I'm gonna get glory out of this. Like they're gonna chase you, and I'm gonna harden their hearts." Because I'm gonna get glory on the other side of this. When people hear the story of the Red Sea, I'm gonna get ultimate glory so that thousands of years later they're talking about it. But before the Egyptians got swallowed up, they said, this must be the Lord. That is glory.
Amen.
And he's trying to take us from that to that. And Pastor Zach again said on Sunday, as he's starting the message, he's talking about like, why would God do that? Why would he allow bad things and all of that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
And I'm like, because it's glory to glory. Mm-hmm. If you can get this perspective, that everything is, he is first in all. Mm-hmm. And if you'll actually put him first in all, you'll see the glory. Job did not see glory to glory until, like, we think the glory to glory was from where he started to having a double at the end. But there was glory to glory at every step of the process.
Right.
There's glory to glory.
Right.
If you can find that.
Right.
And humble yourself to be able to find
it. And like when you read Job, like at the end, like his closing, monologue to God, his prayer to God, where he's like, I spoke of things I didn't understand.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. It goes beyond, you know, having everything restored to him.
Yes,
it's
sir.
His image of God is now bigger and more complete.
Yeah.
And he has a deeper understanding of what it is to live and bring glory to
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's real, again, we're transformed. How? Mm-hmm. By our minds being renewed.
Amen.
He's saying, my mind got renewed. And as a matter of fact, the reason why he has to repent for his friends, the Lord says, I'm mad at them because they did not speak right of me.
Right. Yeah.
So again, Job's repenting for it too, to a certain extent, for not seeing God in the right light. But that's why he's frustrated with them because they did not go back to Colossians. Yeah, of course they didn't.
Right.
But that section is like, no, if you can see Christ, is the visible image of the invisible God. And then you start walking that down. That is, and as Pastor Zach said, such a full picture of who Jesus Christ is and how we are supposed to see him, that that so many of us are looking at Jesus not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't read that resonate with our hearts sometimes.
We get it reversed, where it's, I look at me and then I look at Jesus through me.
Sure.
Where what you're supposed to do is look at Jesus.
Yeah.
And then see yourself through Jesus, what Jesus did for you, and then come into agreement with that.
Yes, sir.
Which brings us to the next portion of the passage. I believe it's verses 21 through 23.
You want to read it?
Yes, I will.
I said, do you want me to read it?
Yeah, you
can read it.
No, you read it. I love it.
Because he was in the NLT, right?
No, he was...
Did he do NLT this?
It was NASB, I believe.
What was NLT last week? He did NLT one of these last weeks. I was so shook. I could not believe it.
Are you serious? I thought he was in NASB. Sure. Anyway, I've been reading out of NASB.
I don't know.
So
I'm doing NLT. But anyway, even though I love NASB.
Yeah, let's go with it.
This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Like Job's friends. Mm-hmm. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it.
That's awesome. So good. In the first place that Pastor Zach parked on, and again, looking at, like, we've looked at Jesus first, and now we're looking at ourselves, because he says that Jesus reconciled the world to himself. Mm-hmm. And then he says, you were formerly alienated. That's what it says in the NASB. And it's like, you weren't part of this.
Yeah.
You were not part of that. Yeah. And you have to understand that.
Yeah.
I think sometimes, especially if you've grown up in the church or you've been walking with the Lord for some time, you can forget you were once not part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that he stopped and clarified that word, because he said in some versions it's a different word, but mm-hmm. it really is a past tense past tense forever.
Yeah.
Like, formerly, you literally never had access. You, yeah.
were not
connected until Jesus Christ made the way for you. You were not part of this.
Yeah, you were a non-participant.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And then we were hostile in mind. You know, it further clarifies what it meant to, like, not only were you not participating, mm-hmm. your mind was set against the things of God.
Sure. Yeah.
You know,
and isn't that, he said that word hostile, right? Is like extra work. Was that hostile? Was that word?
I think so. I don't remember
that it's interesting, right? Because we want to say, like, your evil thoughts and actions. And we want to say that that's like, well, I'm not evil. I'm not doing that. But so much of it is actually, again, it's like, putting extra in mm-hmm. on the word, that you have a blue word and this is the word for right now.
Yep.
But then you're going to put in your own couple extra bits.
Right.
And it brings it to a red space.
And it's not even pure. He says it's like, it's thinking that is tainted by hate and opposition.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, sir. It's also the thrust behind your mind.
Yeah.
Like, you, there was nothing in you that was like coming into agreement with Jesus.
Yeah, sure. And even though you think you might be doing some good things,
mm-hmm.
again, if you're not in agreement with Jesus Christ and his supremacy,
right.
then it's still not adding up. Only what you do for Christ is going to last.
Right.
So it, even though you can be doing a good thing for you, mm-hmm. it still won't last.
Right. And that takes us to the next phrase.
You're welcome.
Engaged. No, it says you were engaged in evil deeds.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's Isaiah that says all righteousness is as filthy rags. Mm-hmm. All of the things that we think are good are out of our flesh, out of our sinful nature. Like they are as filthy rags. And I think the Hebrew talks about like dirty menstrual garments.
Yeah.
Like that is what mm-hmm. it's like, that good thing that you think is going to bring you into alignment with God. It's dirty.
Absolutely. It's so crazy how much in all the way through Genesis and even into Exodus, he's talking about changing your garment. And so I talk about that a lot, right? Because the bride of Christ he's coming for a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. So I'm like, okay, that spot, blemish, or wrinkle is about what you're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you wearing your own righteousness when you stand before Jesus? Because that's got spots, blemishes, and wrinkles all over. The dress that he prepared for you, which is like, again, if you got the spirit of heaviness, he prepared a garment of praise for you.
Yeah.
All you got to do is put it on.
Yeah.
And that will bring you into fullness, right? But your righteousness, the things that you're doing, again, your goodness can never be that good. I keep thinking about, again, almost holy, the concept that everything that the Lord touches becomes holy. Like there's nothing that the Lord touches that can make him unholy. So again, the woman with the issue of blood, when she touches Jesus, technically, in Levitical law, he was supposed to be unclean.
Right.
Anything that a woman who was bleeding mm-hmm. touched or sat on
yep.
was unclean. So there is something that she's supposed to make him unclean,
but he
actually yeah. makes her holy.
Right.
Because he's almost
holy,
right?
Yeah.
And so even, it, the shields that got beat down into the censers, right? And they were using them, but in a bad way. Where was that? I think Pastor Zach preached on it a while ago.
Well, you're talking about the pans?
Yeah. This, like the censors.
This was back on the other side.
But it was such a good message. And the whole
the fire
concept.
Pans, the fire
is,
pans.
Yeah, the fire yeah. pans that they were using against censors. Yeah, like yep. they were using to do the incense, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
the strange fire, right?
Yeah,
that they
yeah.
offer
and
strange
so they
fire.
They get taken out,
yeah.
but they keep
yeah.
the fire pans,
the pans.
Because yeah. they had been made holy.
Right.
Right. And so, again, there's something in this that that when you allow his garment to touch you, you become
right.
holy.
Right.
You don't taint his holiness. Right. You don't taint his goodness. And that's why you bring everything to him, because he can touch your righteousness
right.
and actually right. make it beautiful.
Well, and that's the thing is, I think that, you know, it's like I have to, like, and you'll hear about people like, oh, one day I'll get right with God. It's,
yeah.
And they say that almost with a, like, you're almost hearing behind that, like an attitude or a desire to, I need to clean up a little bit. So mm-hmm. I'm not bringing everything that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And what you don't understand is everything that you could muster up is unholy.
Mm-hmm.
You are to bring all of your unholiness to him.
Yeah.
And so that brings us to the next thing. Because after, you know, like we go through these words, Paul goes on to say, yet, despite all of you not being a participant, you're hostile in
yeah.
mind,
yeah.
you're engaged in only evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death. And, you know, it's so important that we understand it was his flesh.
Yeah.
His fleshly body died for us, for our fleshly
yes, sir.
Body.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Not just about this immaterial spirit.
Yeah.
It extends to every fiber,
sure.
every cell,
sure.
everything that is you.
Sure. I was thinking as you were talking a minute ago, it's like, yeah, I'll wait to get right for this, or I'll wait a little while. And I'm like, what are you waiting for, heaven? Like, that's where you're getting
right.
perfection.
Right.
You can't wait for that. And again, there's a place where as you see his physical body die,
mm-hmm.
there's something in that for you every day that you should be putting your physical body to death in mm-hmm. a certain way
yeah.
so that you can live in Christ.
Right.
Because that's the example that he gives, like putting himself to death on a regular
mm-hmm.
basis.
Mm-hmm.
So that in his death, we are reconciled back. And I think that, again, that is what we're supposed to be like Christ, right? So we should be killing our flesh on a regular basis so that the person behind us, while we're yielding,
right,
can follow
Amen.
Where they are
Amen.
Supposed to follow.
Amen.
Because there are supposed to be some people that are reconciled to Christ because you put
right.
your flesh to death.
Right, right. Well, Paul says, follow me as
Absolutely.
I follow Christ.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And, you know, it's important that, you know, we understand that it's as we are reconciled, as we, you know, Jesus says, like, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, mm-hmm. you have no part of me.
Mm-hmm.
What that's going back to, what he's saying by that is, and he's saying this before he even dies on the cross,
mm-hmm.
but he's pointing to that's where the work is done. The work is not done with you. Like the reconciliation part, that is all Jesus.
Yeah.
You just take and eat and receive. And then he starts that work in you of making you holy.
Yeah.
And the only quote unquote work that there is for us to do is what we've been talking about, like right at the beginning, which is get on your knees.
Yeah.
Because that is the only way that my mind can come into alignment, that I can have my mind renewed, is through dialoguing and receiving, being ministered to by the one who did all the work for me.
I love the next line. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless. Or as you stand before him without a single fault. Again, he's taking your strange fire and your strange fire pan. He brings it into his presence and it becomes holy and blameless as you stand before him.
Yeah.
With all of the faults that you think that you have, he says, without a single fault.
Yep.
That's his goal. That is like really the end goal. And again, then he says, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. You can't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. And again, that's the enemy's job. That's why you've got to consistently be standing in his presence.
Right, right.
Because otherwise you will lose the assurance of your holiness.
And right.
And then you will be faulted.
Well, and that's the thing, because, you know, Pastor Zach explained that, you know, that beyond reproach, that without fault, it means unaccused, unaccusable.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're only going to be able to defeat the enemy by remembering, oh, I didn't get here by anything of my own.
Yes, sir.
And I stand here unaccused. Yeah. So the accuser cannot, whatever charges he brings up about me.
Yep.
That doesn't stick because I have been declared unaccusable.
I mean, literally, Luke, if I went to court tomorrow and somebody said, you killed this person, I'm not worried a bit. Like, please look into it as a matter of fact, because you can't accuse, I'm blameless in that. And so there's something about it that, again, as you consistently stand before the judge, right, and stand in his presence, and he reads the verdict over you that you are holy and blameless. Again, there's sometimes you need to go back and remind yourself of the verdict that he's given you.
Yeah.
But I did think it was interesting anytime I think reconciliation, I always think of reconciling a checkbook. Like, okay. And to reckon is literally an accounting for, right? And so I thought how interesting it is that it's like, it says that he reconciled you to himself, right? So there's something mathematical about that. And excuse me for the kingdom math, you know. There's something mathematical about that, that when he pulls you over to his side, there's a balance to the other side, right? That's what reconciled means, is that you're evening out the book almost, right?
Yeah.
And so when he reconciles you, what was on the other side is negated.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it says that the righteousness of Jesus is credited to us.
Yes, absolutely. And so it's crazy to me that, again, you stand before him and there's no account, right? Because it's reconciled. He could never go back and say, oh, that's on your account. No. I have been reconciled. Mm-hmm. So you cannot hold that in my account because Jesus paid it all. So that no longer actually is held against me. And when you start to think of it that way, you really start to be unaccused. You stop taking what the enemy says personal, because it starts to actually, I tell people this all the time, we don't take things personal, right?
Yep.
Because when you take it personal, it becomes personal.
Right.
I start to think of myself as stupid because somebody said I was.
Right.
And really, it was personal to the person who said that you were stupid. They have something in them that's off, but you start to take it on yourself.
Right.
And so I'm like, friends, do not take what the enemy says personal.
Right.
You take what the Lord says about you personal and become that.
Right.
Allow that to be personal to you so that your person is changed in that moment.
Right. And as you're talking, what I'm realizing is, in order for me to walk that out that way, I have to let pride in me die.
Yes.
Because if there's pride in you,
yes, sir,
you will take what the enemy says personally.
Yes, sir.
Because in your pride, there's probably a lie that you believe that somehow I helped Jesus or I am keeping myself here with Jesus.
Sure.
And it's like, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Jesus was the only one who got you in here.
Yeah.
Jesus is the only one that keeps you here.
Yes, sir.
And he's the one who's doing the work on you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's very humbling, because there's that part in our flesh that's like, well, I want to do it.
Yeah, sure.
And yeah, we get to participate in the good works, but that's works, again, that he prepared for you to walk in.
Yes, absolutely. So good. So good.
So as we're closing down, any final encouragement for us.
Sit and listen.
Amen.
Make sure that you're yielded to the presence of the Lord, but not so much that you're holding up the people behind you. If you will stay in his presence, you will find holiness. You will find blamelessness. Lord, I break that off of us today. I break off the blame that we've been feeling, the shame and the guilt. Lord, would you help us to check that at the door, that when we get into your presence, it just falls off. Help us to change that garment, knowing that some of us are wearing that. Would you give us the garment that you have for us, that we would be holy and spotless and wrinkleless, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Jamal, thank you for joining
us. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you so much.
And church family, sit and listen, and we'll see you on Sunday.